Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Well, big news, but not really, but also not completely done. Grant Plattner has suspended campaign activities, but as of the recording of this podcast at noon on Thursday, noon Eastern time on Thursday, he has not submitted the actual paperwork to Maine to actually not be the candidate anymore. So in words, he's not running. In actions, who knows? I bet, you know, he'll get it. He'll get there. But Kurt, what's your take on this? Let's go.
The saga continues. You know, I was talking with someone in media who should not be named. We were wagering whether or not Plattner would actually get out or not. And I told him, listen, I have seen this 1,000 times. The end is near. The candidate actually knows this. It's over. But this is also the last time that anybody's going to give a damn about what this person has to say or think. It's the last time.
Real quick. That do you think he goes away?
I think he has nowhere to go. He will go away because no one's going to give a crap. No one cares what ex-candidates do, like, who have never won anything before. Like,
really? Yeah, but you don't think that this big rise for him and the fact that he's continuing to fight right now to say, like, the Dem elites, he was saying it was the media and Democrats who were stopping him from continuing to run. I just don't know if he goes quietly into the night. Sorry, but
I just think, like, that to me, it just screams of, like, a typical closet narcissist who's unable to accept accountability for anything and is looking to blame and lash out. And it's like, you're going to take your last
away.
I think he's going to take his last 15 seconds of fame. And then I think he's going to realize real quick, once he's off that ballot, no one's going to care. It doesn't matter what he says or does. You're in Maine, by the way. The rest of the country could give two shits about you at this point. You're not in public office. You've never held a public office. You're not so outrageously wealthy that you could, you know, use your means to insert yourself into the national conversation any chance that you want. It's like, once everyone moves on and the show moves on, you're done. You're cooked. You'll never be heard from again. A month from now, nobody's going to be talking about Graham Plattner.
I hope a week from now we're continuing to talk about Graham Plattner, and I hope a month from now we are as well. I hope Graham decides to have a change of heart and keep himself in the race. Listen, Graham, listen here. I rarely give advice to Democrats, but let me help you. Don't let the Democrat establishment push you out. You're going to let 600 insiders in Maine decide instead of everybody in the primary who voted for you? That's not democracy. Absolutely not, Graham. You go down fighting. You do not give up the ship. I feel like, come on. Mm-hmm. Like 600 Dem inside, like 600 Democrats are now going, this is another anoint and appoint and not elect. When Democrats get worried, what do they do now? Forget democracy.
There will be an actual vote of the electorate. November.
Of some
so the person
of
will
the
not
electorate.
Be serving elected office.
That doesn't change the primary process. It doesn't change the fact that Democrats
process
yet again
stories, nobody
continue.
Cares.
Well, no, actually, this has been one of my favorite parts of today in Plattner World, has been reading the implosion stories of the campaign.
Oh, I know.
Like, all that insider gritty details, which you and I both have been on imploding campaigns before and had this kind of stuff happen. It's fun to read other people's misery sometimes when
it's
isn't
nice not
your
to be
own.
A character in this one.
I know. I'm not in this story. This is kind of fun to read. Like, there's a part of it where those terrible, terrible consultants Plattner had, they're like running low on money.
Cats.
And the one guy, Katz, is trying to get them to do a 6-figure ad buy when they've only got like a mill in the bank, and it goes through his firm. You want to talk about enriching yourself? Who knew propping up socialists could make you so much freaking money?
Grifter. The grift is real. Yeah,
grift
no,
is strong.
I think that these fools, this is what happens, by the way. Like, I know people love to like dunk on the establishment class and the consultant class, of which you and I are a part of at times. But there's a reason why we're actually professionals, like that we do this for a living.
It's like, a real industry. Like, it's not a dirty word either. And people think that we are like a multi-billion dollar a year industry in the United States that supports tens of thousands of jobs. This, like, political consulting and politics is real.
Mm-hmm.
People think it's a dirty word that you can make a living doing this. They think it's like, oh, you're getting rich off donors and that. No, We are hardworking. And this is why you hire people who know how to run races and actually win races and not just people who like to make themselves money. Sorry.
Yeah. If you hire grifters or inexperienced crackpots who don't know what they're doing, this is what you end up with, folks. You end up with incredibly flawed nominees, candidates. And I will say, it's like, listen, I think that it's the healthiest thing for any political party that once stuff like this comes to the surface to hit exit stage left as soon as possible, because I'm glad that I'm part of a party, at least for the moment, is saying, yep, that's too far. We're done with this guy. You can make the case it shouldn't have gotten that far, but I think that there are a lot of folks on the right who don't have room to talk about this kind of stuff when they have stood idly by as the president of the United States has been accused 20 some
doing,
odd times.
I'm not doing
I'm going to finish. Let me finish where I'm going. You don't know where I'm going with this, Aaron. Don't jump to conclusions yet.
Oh, I've seen
let
all
me
the
finish.
Talking
let me finish. Let me finish. There's that with Trump, but there are also plenty on the right who did draw a line when the president nominated someone like Matt Gaetz to be attorney general. And they're like, nope, that's too far. We're not going to do that. Both parties can have shown in different ways that they are willing to say, yeah, that's a line too far to be gone. We are not going to be that party. I think stuff like this shouldn't be partisan. Stuff like this should not be about whether you're an R or a D. Some things are just disqualifying. And when credible accusations come forward that are recounted in the level of detail that they have been, they should be given very serious weight and credibility. And Plattner is clearly unqualified to be a United States senator. And I'm glad Democrats have unilaterally said, yeah, you're not going to be our guy. I think that is actually the process working optimally, if not belatedly.
Well, we can disagree on that being the process working. But I will say this, that this latest round of accusations that came out at the top of the week about rape against Graham Plattner, which he has denied, people are like, oh, the vetting, they didn't vet him well enough. It's true. They clearly did not do even like the basic level of vetting. But when it came to like the rape accusations and the sexual assault allegations, those are not necessarily things, and you and I both know this, that would have come up in a vetting profile, because there were no police records on it. Neither of these women filed any action against him or tried to get
there's no document to find, no report that was filed.
Unless it was a widely known secret amongst a group of people who would have been part of conversations and interviews into an in-depth background, which it doesn't see. I mean, it might have been in the second case here, the one that came out later this week, because she did have friends who were able to corroborate that. But again, like, are you talking to all those people? I mean, look, the New York Times didn't, right? We saw that, you know, in multiple instances. So to be like, I'm saying he was poorly vetted. That doesn't change that reality. Yes. But these specific cases might not have been found even in the best of vetting profiles. They could have said like, oh, there are ex-girlfriends who say he was rough, and maybe that could lead forward to this. But the journalistic integrity that multiple outlets have shown on this is nil. They're all saying, oh, it was because we all just bought it. No, it's your job to ask the freaking questions. It's your job as reporters to get to the bottom of it. And instead, you thought the gravelly-voiced, bearded dude from Maine with the Nazi tattoo was just poetic enough to beat Susan Collins in a campaign, that you didn't need to ask any further questions. And there are a lot of reporters and editors and institutions that should take some lessons from this race.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. I'm curious what you think now. If you're Susan Collins' campaign, what do you do now? Because you don't know who you're running against. You're not going to know for a few weeks. The campaign you thought you were going to be able to run, and one in which you probably would have prevailed given the amount of baggage we have here on Mr. Plattner, is your op research file there is completely useless, and now you're going to start over. Just as a political operator, what do you do for the Collins campaign right now?
Well, I'm not sure what her air traffic is right now. I know she had a bunch of ads that have been up, but if they were doing negative attack ads, I would obviously, against Plattner, I'd be pulling those down and I'd be moving over to a positive message on airwaves pro Susan right now. You have a dead zone that exists in this kind of time while Democrats are in disarray, and maybe outside put in money for an ad about Democrats in disarray. Look at what a mess Maine Democrats are. Do you want to elect any of these people? Right? Maybe and they're a good ad wave. But if I'm Susan Collins, I'm doing pro bio, pro, you know, good messaging on her side right now in ads. And I'd be heavy. I mean, she's got about 9 million, I think, in the bank right now for the campaign. Plattner was obviously slowing down. But I would probably move a little bit of money forward right now and get a little heavier on reservations just for a little bit to kind of up the pro Susan message and maybe let an outside group come in and hit the Democrats just to take, you've got oxygen right now on airwaves, right? Democrats aren't going to be up because they don't have a candidate.
They're going to be dark for the next 2-3 weeks.
Yeah. It's the dog days of summer. You know, people aren't watching as much TV, you know, this kind of that slump season, but you've got MLB next week. Well, it depends on, you've got a week or two, you've got All-Star coming up, you know, the people will be watching a little bit more TV. So I think that if I was them, I'd be looking at that as part of my strategy right now on how I would be adjusting to an absolute vacancy. And listen, if I'm Susan Collins, maybe I even stand up a bus tour right now and we're crisscrossing the state, you know, not that it takes that long to get around Maine, but you know, you're going around the state, own the local media, own the narrative. There's complete oxygen right now because the Democrats are such a mess. Let's go, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of ads, social media was a buzz yesterday of a new ad launched by Senator Marsha Blackburn, who's running for governor of Tennessee. And it's just the most interesting because it's her sitting in what appears to be an Asian themed set, we'll call it politely, crunching
Asian restaurant
fortune cookies. An Asian restaurant crunching fortune cookies. In a way, I've never seen anyone crunch a fortune cookie, frankly, to be honest with you. Among my many issues with this ad, one, China did not invent the fortune cookie, for the record. It was invented in California. Two, it's a very much anti-China. I'm going to go after communists and make sure China is held accountable, which, okay, fine, whatever. That's great. I don't know what the governor of Tennessee has to do with that particularly, but whatever. And it ends with
farmland and stuff, you know, like I'm buying land and on, you know.
The governor would definitely, there's
something that can be done at the gubernatorial and at the state level when it comes to combating China. So that part of the narrative does make sense to me in terms of her
message. That makes sense. And then the last image is the Asian kitty thing waving like this. And it was just, it was an interesting ad that a lot of people were talking about yesterday.
Listen, you know, a good viral ad will get you talking. It'll get the conversation going. One, do you like fortune cookies? I'm just asking in general. Do you eat a fortune cookie if you get Chinese food?
I think they taste like cardboard. I'm not a big fan.
They're disgusting. Yes. Okay. They are nasty. I hate fortune cookies. I only open them for said fortune and then chuck the cookie. They probably would. I was like, I don't think my dogs would eat those, but they would. They eat their poop sometimes.
They eat anything.
Yeah. They would definitely eat
those. Anyway, it's an interesting ad. If you watch it, pull it up on YouTube. I thought it was funny. It made me laugh.
I mean, it's a, you know, viral ad. And listen, how often were we going to be talking about the Tennessee's governor's race nationally, right? That's not
at all.
Yeah. So,
not at all. But they got a primary coming up. For those who don't know, they have a primary about a month from now. And so there's a person running to her right, if that's even possible. So we'll see how that all plays out in my favorite state of Tennessee, country music.
Well, as we look ahead, let's look also at other races and what other people are doing. There was a story that came out today in Jewish Insider that I sent over to you and that people can hop online and read that folks adjacent to Senator Ted Cruz and his operation, but not directly involving the senator, are opening a 501c4, which means they do not need to disclose donors to combat. Oh my God.
Wow.
That was horrific. That was horrific.
Please don't edit that out.
My God, please do. To combat anti-Semitism on the right. And I think that this is a very smart move. They've been able to bring in a few million dollars of seed money. They're going to be aggressive against rising anti-Semitism on the right. It's prolific across the United States right now. And we know that Senator Cruz, you and I both know, he's a brilliant man, but he's also very pro-Israel, very, you know, a friend of the Jewish community in the United States. That's something that he's always very much focused on. So I think that this is actually a really, really smart move by the folks around Senator Cruz. I think it's a gaping hole in what we're doing right now to try and combat anti-Semitism. Yeah, let's go after it on the right. But on the left, I'm kind of seeing a little bit of a different side of this, where on the left, you know, you're hearing from Democrats who are candidates who are running and winning in primaries that they're not going to support, you know, let's say Hakeem Jeffries for speaker if he takes money from AIPAC. If he takes, you know, they won't support anybody who takes money from, you know, Israel and the Israeli lobby and the Israel Jewish community. I just, you know, what do you think, one, about this cruise operation, you know, this cruise aligned operation? I don't want to say it's a cruise operation because it's not. It's the senator's not involved. This cruise aligned operation. Do you think that the left could do anything similar? And what do you think about those kind of calls on the left against AIPAC?
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
I think it's really smart on Ted Cruz. So much of the 2028 conversation is obviously centered around JD and Marco. And I think it's smart to find lanes that you can fill and occupy that nobody else is, especially in your own party. I think most people would agree that both parties have been egregious at self-policing their sides, respectively. And I think that politically speaking, and also it's the right thing to do, like Cruz has positioned himself as an adult here, right? As a leader going, hey, there's some stuff on my side I'm not too thrilled about, and I'm willing to call it out. And I'm willing to not just call it up, but I'm willing to put some skin in the game and do something about it. Mm-hmm. I think that's admirable. I wish we had more of that on both sides. I really do. I think that's a huge problem that we have right now. Somewhere along the line, you know, we got to a place where everybody was afraid to just take responsibility, accountability, and to weed out the worst among us. And we should be willing to do that because it makes our party better when we get rid of the low-hanging fruit, in my opinion.
I think it makes the country better when we hold people to account, though, right? I think, yes, it's like your point.
Anti-Semitism is disqualifying no matter where you live, what you do, mm-hmm. Who you vote for, period. Shouldn't be that hard to do. I think for Democrats, and you know, and I heard a candidate say this, and I thought it was actually pretty articulate, like, we need to learn how to divorce certain things. The policy decisions made by Netanyahu as he runs his country is different than confronting anti-Semitism here at home, protests over policies that are being done versus I'm going to just target you because you're Jewish.
Yeah, right. Attacking it's like, Jewish like
those,
students on
those
campuses,
are all separate
the right.
things.
Yeah.
And again, like, we have to have a zero tolerance policy. We have to, like, I don't care what the underlying, quote, political motivation might be. Anti-Semitism, just like, in my opinion, racism, unacceptable, period. Like, shouldn't be that hard to say. I don't have a problem with Democrats saying candidates like, hey, if I don't agree with AIPAC and I don't support a member leadership who's taking AIPAC money. It's like, okay, you have the right to say that. And if that's what you're telling your voters and they still vote for you after, then okay. Then you better hold up your end of that bargain, by the way. You know, I remember very similarly in the Tea Party elections, a lot of folks ran in those cycles in 2010, particularly saying like, hey, I'm not supporting Boehner for speaker. Like, if you send me to Washington, like, I'm not going to be a friend of Speaker Boehner. I'm more in the you know, the Freedom Caucus, or as we called it back at the time, the RSC side of things. Like, as long as you're being upfront ahead of time about that, and the voters get to make that informed decision, if they still return you to Washington or vote for you based on that, okay. Like, I don't have a qualm with that at all. Not great for Hakeem Jeffries, but...
Yeah, I think ultimately Democrats do struggle, and I do think it's more on the left, with being able to separate the conflicts that they feel with Bibi Netanyahu's leadership in Israel, the sovereignty of the nation, and the Jewish people. Right. And so regularly the three get crossed because you see people like Ilhan Omar, when she tweets something about Bibi, to be critical, saying it's all about the Benjamins. That's anti-Semitic, ma'am. That's anti-freaking Semitic. And I don't care who you are. That's not appropriate. But she's a senior leader of the Democrat Party right now. And that's she was trying to be critical of Bibi's policies, but instead chose anti-Semitism as her message. That is happening a lot on the left. And because they're not saying the Israeli government, right? They're not saying that. Right. They're talking about Netanyahu, and they use it in terms that are so egregious. And so, I think that calling this out on the right, I love this. Let's keep it up. And I hope Democrats do it on the left. It's just that, to your point, the separation of church and state in their mind, they have yet to be able to do. And so it is so deeply entrenched that anti-Semitism is more the message.
Right, right. Yeah, they actually step on their very, I think, fair critiques of Netanyahu's policy making, and they step on it with when they slide into anti-Semitism, and it dilutes actually the point they're trying to make.
Yeah. Well, as we look ahead to 2028, hard pivot here, since we were talking a little bit about that, the way too early skepticism. There is continued conversation about 2028, about who's going to run, right? Obviously, on the left, people are kind of waxing poetic about Ossoff, but there was a piece in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, today?
Yeah, that's right one. Yep.
About how maybe it's Raphael Warnock who's more the darling of Georgia for the 2028 kind of conversation. What do you think of maybe that as a possible candidate for Dems in 28?
Yeah, politically, and I know this could be sacrilegious as a Democrat to say this, we have tried in, three of the last four elections to run precedent-making candidacies, whether it's the first woman president, the first black president, the first black female president. And, at some point, we got to stop trying to run candidates based on checking boxes. Mm-hmm. And I think I've always been a big believer that, the talent rises, the cream of the crop, the best of the best. That's who you should go with. Your best player on the field is who you should play, period. I don't care if they're white, black, red, yellow, man, woman. If you are the most talented, the most gifted, the most charismatic, all the things that should comprise the president of the United States, then that's who you should go with. That's part of the reason why in the last election, I was a big fan of Buttigieg. I know there's a lot of issues there, but just from a talent perspective, I felt that he had more political talent than other people that were in the conversation. And even though we may have lost no matter what, I think that there's something to be said. There's an X factor when it comes to just talent. I feel that way about 2028. I think that Warnock is really talented. I think he'd be a very interesting person to be in that mix. I think obviously
he's a reverend, so his ability to draw a crowd in his speech, it's an incredible asset he has. Yeah,
absolutely. It's not that I'm inherently opposed to it per se. I think for a minute between now and at least November, it's going to be more about Ossoff because he's on the ballot, so there's going to be a lot of attention on Georgia, millions of dollars spent, a lot of opportunities for him to distinguish himself. I think what he has done, which people were not expecting, is shown what a gifted communicator he is. That was not the rap on him before. And so he's benefiting from, I think, people had under expectations for him. And he's like, oh, wow, this guy's actually really good. This guy's doing great at these rallies. He's having all these viral clips. We didn't know that about him. We just thought he was just a good old generic white guy. Fine, God bless. But there's like a layer of talent there and charisma there that we didn't know about before. So he's benefiting from that. And I think that's great. Hey, as a Democrat, I'm like, the more talented, gifted, charismatic, we have a dearth of that here in our party for a minute. Hence how we ended up with the old guy, Joe Biden. So like the more people under the age of 60 that can demonstrate those political talents, I think that's great. I am for a competitive, robust, just brutal, frankly, primary, because if you win that, then you might have a real shot at winning in November. Like, this should be hard. It has to be hard.
And winning is hard in politics, and winning again is even harder. It's not an easy thing to win. Who do you think are the top three Democrats right now for 2028?
I think assuming he wins Georgia still, Ossoff, you cannot overlook someone who is a Democrat who wins in a pretty red state. Or even at least a purple state like that. That's got to count for something. I think that you cannot ignore the talent. I think Pete Buttigieg has talent, experience. He is known. He has played it very well post leaving the Biden administration, I feel like. And so I don't think you can ignore that, again, because of talent. And certainly you can't ignore AOC in that she is the obvious heir apparent to the Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren wing, the party. And as far as it's a primary, so your base has a more weighted effect on the outcome than a general. She will have a monopoly on 20-25% of the Democratic Party base, no matter who runs. You can't ignore that either.
I think that's all right. And on the Republican side, when you look at it, it just came out that Ken Griffin, mega donor,
fifth biggest donor in the party.
He said right now he'd be behind Marco Rubio, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, over Vice President J.D. Vance. That's really intriguing to me. One, not only because the name, right? Ken could easily bankroll the biggest
entire presidential election.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he could bankroll it single-handedly. Because J.D., Vice President Vance, is the finance chair of the Republican National Committee right now. So those big donors, those big dollars, those are more inside relationships that he's more, I think, suited to have than Secretary Rubio. But I got to tell you, Secretary Rubio's ability to kind of chameleon his way through this. And I say that in a positive way because he is a chameleon. The man has like six jobs in the admin right now.
Your player got a red card. Send in Marco. He'll play for you.
I mean, listen, if the New York Yankees keep playing such bad baseball, he might become the general manager soon enough. Who knows? Like, Marco Rubio is out here doing a lot. So I just find that insider donor talk early. Yes, this is that 2028 way too early conversation. And that one is just one that kind of like, interesting to see kind of where people are going
to
put their lanes
early. Rubio fits to me what I was just saying. You know, about some of the Democrats. Rubio is an incredibly talented politician, at times masterful, frankly. When you look at the needles he has had to...
very good.
You know, you watch him at the briefing when he takes the podium. You watch him in the Oval. You watch him on the stump.
And there's personality to it.
Like, he has grown... Well, my observation of Marco, actually, is that he has grown so much more comfortable with himself over the years. Yeah. Like, he wasn't as sure-footed, you know, back in between, like, 2013, 2016, he just wasn't sure of himself. And
he was younger,
this is the benefit,
less experienced. Yeah.
Well, it's also the benefit of losing. Like, when you lose, like, it is the most educational thing that could ever happen to you, as you and I both know all too well. And it's like when I tell my kids this all the time, when the worst thing actually happens to you, then everything else after that's a lot easier to deal with. And you just stop giving a shit as much, which is what unlocks you a little bit. And I think you're seeing that from Marco.
Amen. Amen to that. Ooh. Kurt giving cuts today. Ooh.
I have said, I think one of the healthiest things that could happen in a post-Trump political dynamic is for a more return to normalcy for both parties. And someone like Marco as the head Republican would be that. That would be healthier, I think, for our process and our system. And you know, as someone who has been obviously very anti-Donald Trump for the last decade, I would very much welcome a President Marco Rubio over a lot of the potential people we're looking at right now.
Mm. It's interesting. I mean, again, way too early in the process, but the jockeying, the stories, the insider stuff, it's all interesting because...
Oh, there's a dark horse, too, to look at in the Republican Party that I hear a lot about, for what it's worth, and that's Utah Governor Spencer Cox.
So you know what? That is... Okay, we really do spend too much time together, probably, because that's one of my dark horses as well. I honestly believe that the message and the work he did overall, he's done like really strong messaging. It was him who did the messaging, that ad with Wes Moore, right?
Yep.
He also, I think after Charlie Kirk's assassination,
did
a masterful job of showing empathy.
Super impressive.
I was deeply, deeply impressed by him in that. So, yes, I completely agree with you. He's my dark horse. Right now, I would say JD's still probably the top of the, you know, pile. And then Marco, but that's kind of like that's actually
I think so highly of Spencer Cox that he is one of the only Republicans that I personally, as a Democrat, I would work for him. Not that he would maybe want me to work for him, but I would work for him. That's how much I think of him.
No, I think that I do. I think he's really good. So, yeah, the road to 28 is long. But it's not as long because 26 is here. And once the midterms are over, that light switch goes
on. Once we get through
the
big 2-6, it's all of a sudden all eyes on the big 2-8.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.